Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, everyone. This segment of the show is brought to you by Olive Crest and features Chris Bond, who's with Murphy Business from Franklin in back east. And Chris has been with us before. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good to be on.
It's good to have you again. We talked before about valuing businesses and what it takes to get a business ready for sale down the road. And, you know, one of the things that we wanted to have you back to talk about was the pitfalls to selling a small business. And you do a lot of that. So let's talk about it, Chris. What's been happening in your world? How's the economic situation and are businesses getting ready for sale back there?
They certainly are. I'm sitting here looking at two offers on my desk for a distributorship that lost money last year. It's an interesting time where there's a lot of good folks looking to buy businesses right now, and they'll even consider those that have lost money. This one in particular is just a hard luck story with a family situation, a fracturing of a partnership. And so you can explain these things, and reasonable people can understand these things. But even those that lost money, people are seeing opportunity.
Now, that's a great point, Chris, because a lot of people are concerned because they might have had some losses during a really tough time in the last few years, and they've corrected those. They're still here. They're surviving, but they're worried that people are going to look at the last 3 years of EBITDA, and there's no E in the EBITDA. and they're worried that multiple is going to be 3 times 0, so they're not going to get anything for their business. Now, tell us about your experience with that. Is there a lot more of that going on where people are saying, look, I survived, I've righted the ship, we've got actually better opportunities in front of us than we've ever had. What's happening with that?
Yeah, they have to be careful with that, because if there are better opportunities in front of the seller than they've ever had, then why are they selling? And that's where people's guards really get up. I temper my clients' enthusiasm sometimes, because the more excited they are to sell and the more they're jumping up and down trying to convince a buyer that it's the right time to buy, the more the buyer says, yeah, what am I missing? Because you wouldn't be selling if it was the ideal to keep.
But because of age, I mean, a lot of people have been put off. They wanted to sell 5 years ago, and they just couldn't because the market, you know, took a dump. So now they're worried about, you know, I've been ready to sell for quite a while. Is that a reason, or does that just get, you know, does that help to say, look, I'm 68 years old and it's time?
It does, yes. And certainly retirement and health-related issues are the easiest to explain to a potential buyer, for sure. It's just I still think people need to be careful to not oversell, or what we used to call blue sky opportunities. It's better to be candid about what's working well, what's not working so well, and beyond retirement and health concerns, reasons why somebody feels like somebody would be better served to steer the business into the future. It's just, in my experience, better to be candid and don't make it sound like everything is perfectly, you know, the ship is perfectly righted or everything is perfectly set for the future.
Okay, well, so let's talk about that, because I think that's very interesting for a lot of our listeners who are thinking about, you know, maybe I did want to sell a few years ago, and that I would have if I could have gotten out before everything went, you know, there's some calamitous times. Then, of course, the problem there is they probably would have done an earn out, and they probably wouldn't have gotten their second or third checks, maybe, too.
Right.
Yeah, earnout's only as good as the last check.
That's right. Actually, I have an attorney friend who says, you don't worry about the last check coming in, you worry about the first check coming in.
Yeah.
If the first one comes in, you got a great shot at collecting the last one. If the first one doesn't come in, or if it's a struggle to get the first one, you get almost no shot to get the last one.
So why is it hard to get deals done in today? What's holding back deals?
Oh, just reticence. All of my deals are small. Every one of my clients is the seller of the business. I only represent the seller, and their businesses all do under $5 million a year in revenue, and the earnings are always under $500,000. And so the acquisition price, the deal size is far under $1 million. You know, the this offer I'm talking about, these multiple offers, the higher one is $380,000. You know, for a real business, a 50-year-old distributorship that lost money, and you know what? Today it's worth $380,000 or $400,000. That's still a pretty good sized check for an individual to write, and that's almost always the buyer in the deals that I do.
Okay, and that is the bread and butter of our country, is these small businesses that have hoped, you know, they decided, I don't want to work in the job that I'm in. I'm going to take this. Maybe they have what I call an entrepreneurial seizure, and they decide, I want to start my own business because I want to be my own boss. I want to build equity. And people like Michael Gerber out there, who wrote E-Myth, says the only reason to start your own business is someday to think about selling it. But yeah. I don't agree with that wholeheartedly. Do you?
I don't. No, I'm in the business I'm in because I want to be doing deals when I'm 70 and 75 years old. I just think that this is a wonderful business to be in if you want to stay mentally sharp and engaged and part of a community and just have something interesting to do. So I started this business 5 years ago with no intention of selling it. So I understand where he's coming from. I'm a huge Michael Gerber fan.
Me too.
But I think there are exceptions to that rule.
Yeah, and the other part of it is that a lot of businesses might say, I want to give my family a chance to work in it, and maybe children and grandchildren someday take it over. So kind of a legacy. It's not going to be maybe cash rich, but we'll do okay.
Yeah, fair enough. My secret wish is that my son will someday want to get into this very business. And I see that quite a bit where I actually have a husband and wife coming in on Tuesday. Their son is in the business, but he finally worked up the nerve to say he doesn't really want to run the business and it'd be better to go through a private sale. So I think it's a nice realization when folks can realize that even if their kids are in the business, they don't necessarily want it, and you may as well have those awkward conversations sooner than later.
That's a difficult conversation for people to have. They don't want to let their parents down, and their parents might be, you know, thinking that's our out. That's how we're going to move to the side, and then out of the business is by the children taking over. It can be easy, but it can be very, very difficult and challenging, of course.
It can be, for sure, in my experience as well. And then you can talk about key employees the same way. What I see is that these small businesses tend to have a single key employee, or maybe a couple, maybe three. In my experience, those people don't have any money.
Right.
So that tests the mettle of the seller who wants to retire or maybe has a health concern. Are they willing to do a deal with very little money down? My recommendation is don't do it. I think it's far too risky.
They don't have it, and they can't get it unless they get it from the business. Because it used to be, and let's face it, I mean, years ago, a lot of businesses were started by or bought by employees who went back and tapped into their home equity.
Yeah.
And that was an easy line of credit for them. They can't just go to a bank. And a lot of people don't realize that. The banks don't want to take that big of a risk. So what are some of the ways that business owners should get prepared for the conversations they're going to have with you at their side, Chris?
Well, certainly they need to be prepared to be challenged on valuation. I was on a conference call last night on a deal, a small publishing company, where it's not a huge separation on value, but it's, you know, 20% difference of opinion, seller and buyer. Those things should never be taken personally whatsoever. That's all in the eye of the beholder. Negotiation is what it is. Business is just business. So my client was getting a little bit hot on this conference call last night, and he calmed down, and it was okay in the end. In fact, it's funny timing. He and the buyer are actually on a follow-up call as you and I speak right now, so I should have my fingers crossed while I'm talking to you that's going well, because that's likely the final wrap-up conversation. But never take things personally. You will see, selling a small business, if you want $500,000 for that business and that's a realistic number and your broker thinks it's a realistic number, be prepared for some people to see it as half that value and maybe even others to see it as a greater number. Those things tend to even themselves out, and like I said, should never be taken too harshly by the seller.
That's part of the buying and purchasing game, right, is negotiation.
Yeah, and you know what? Not everybody's going to see it the way we see it, and that's okay. You know what? if somebody has a good broker, that broker's kissing a lot of frogs and talking to lots of folks. And eventually, if you're patient and if you understand it's going to take a long time to get the job done, then keep running the business and be patient and don't be in such a rush to try to get the business sold.
Let's go back for a second to those businesses that you were talking about that lost some money in the last few years, but now they're for sale. Why would a buyer be interested in those businesses at this point? Do they just see something in the business that the opportunity, or what's their interest?
Yeah, that example I was mentioning a few minutes ago, the two different offers that I have, one is an individual who I think is just a very confident person. He sees it as, there were some family troubles, and you know what? I can fix those in 6 to 12 months. The other group, the one with the higher offer, is a private equity group that I think just sees strategic opportunity in bolting on that type of distributorship and getting into the Boston market at the same time. So
I was going to say, that's great insight. So for our business owners out there listening, You have to understand that sometimes buyers are looking at your business as a component to a much bigger structure that they're putting together. And if you're that strategic purchase, that you're going to be that asset that's going to be really complete their puzzle, they're willing to pay a little bit more because you're completing a puzzle of theirs. They're not just looking at it as a job. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it is. And getting back to your question from a couple of minutes ago, what should people be ready for by their broker's side is the competitor that you think is the ideal buyer may just make the worst and most insulting offer. Don't be shocked when that happens, because oftentimes competitors see an opportunity to take advantage of a situation, and those should never be taken personally either. They're, can be insulting and they can hurt, but business is business, as I said.
Are a lot of business buyers out there just trying to learn about trade secrets, or is there a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing out there in the buyer's marketplace, Chris?
I don't see a whole lot of that, because I'm pretty proud of how tough I am on the buyer up front. So I call it the three gates. If you can't successfully navigate the three gates of pre-qualification, one is there's a compelling reason to do the search. Two is obviously you sign off on non-disclosure. Three is you have the financial wherewithal to get a deal done. I find most people that get through those three gates have a sincere interest in the pursuit. If I took a lazy approach and just any inquiry that came in just sent an NDA and just had somebody sign off without any kind of demonstration of a compelling reason to search and financial wherewithal, I think there'd be a lot more of what you're suggesting, a lot more of people just looking for competitive intelligence. Well, I believe the most important thing I have to do is protect that upfront.
And that's fantastic. And that's a big reason, listeners, to use someone who's skilled at working with potential buyers, because you may just be so happy that somebody approaches you and wants to, everybody gets those phone calls. You may be so happy that somebody's paying attention to your business and wants to buy it. You may end up giving away some really important information without someone who can really buffer that.
Such a good point. And I'll also add, if you get a call from somebody saying they're interested in buying the business, first reaction is, we're not for sale. Uh-huh. Give yourself some time, give yourself a day. Don't leap at those initial inquiries. Just play a little bit hard to get up front, because you know what? Even if tomorrow you think, wow, I really should pursue that, they're not going to have vaporized overnight. They'll be there tomorrow too. So
yeah,
try to be calm when people make an initial inquiry.
That's a great tip. Chris, how do people reach you to talk about you representing them or getting some tips from you?
Oh, thanks for asking. My office line is 508-440-5670. And my email address is c.bond@murphybusiness.com. One other quick thing, I'm very proud of our new blog, timesupllc.com. And that spells out in pretty good detail the philosophy of how we operate here in Franklin, Massachusetts.
Times Up LLC, T-I-M-E-S.
UPLLC.com.
I'm going to check into that, and I hope our listeners will as well. Chris, you're welcome back anytime. Thanks a lot for joining us again today. Look forward to talking to you again soon, and continued success.
Bill, thanks so much. To you as well.
Thank you. We've been talking with Chris Bond of Murphy Business in Franklin, Mass., and we're going to take a short break, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.